Hi, I'm Solara Starr and welcome to the Solara Starr podcast. With over 20 years of experience, I've had the privilege of working with thousands worldwide and sharing my expertise across various media platforms. This podcast is your go-to resource for mastering manifestation and unlocking your ultimate magnetism. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode and let's dive in. And a very warm welcome to the Solara Starr podcast. I am Solara Starr, and today we are going to be having a real down-to-earth conversation about something that often gets left out in the manifestation conversation. Let's be honest, it's one thing to attract what you want, and another thing then to actually hold it in your hands and to keep it. And to live it without feeling like it's going to slip away at any moment. I see so many people, including myself, frustrated by manifesting because they're doing all the things that the books tell them to do. They're doing their affirmations, they're doing their visualizations, they're scripting, they're doing their vision boarding, but it still feels like something is missing. It still feels like hard work. Or perhaps like me, at some point in my journey, when I did manifest something, it turned out to be super, super stressful. Or in some cases, I even got the absolute opposite of what it was that I wanted. And that's why I've come to understand and now believe that manifesting is not just about thinking about what you want and visualizing it. It is about who you are becoming. It's about the version of you who can consistently, sustainably and happily hold the life that you desire. And that version of you doesn't just show up by accident either, by the way. It's created by cultivating certain character traits. And that's what I want to talk about today. These are traits that become the strong and the solid foundation for the life that you want. They're what helps you to receive, to help you to enjoy when you do receive and to expand on what it is that you want to create. So instead of sabotaging it, pushing it away, or collapsing under the weight of it all, you can actually hold it with a smile on your face and trust that it's not going anywhere. And as I was pondering on this, I was thinking, what is top five character traits that I would say we need to cultivate in order to have a strong, solid foundation to hold what it is that we are calling in. Now, they're not in any order of importance because I do believe that they're all as equally as important as each other. But I'm going to begin with by taking personal responsibility. So this is responsibility. This is accountability. And I believe this is one of the bedrocks of everything when it comes to manifesting. You'll find that it's something I have spoken about a lot over time because this is where everything changed for me in my manifesting practice. And personal responsibility in manifestation, it means owning the results that you get. It's not like the universe is punishing you or, you know, you have some dark cloud over your head that you cannot shake. It's more about understanding that even if you don't see it consciously, there's always something that you either did or didn't do, you said or didn't say, you chose or you avoided, you believed or you feared that played a part in the results that you received. And of course, this is definitely not about going on the blame train either. So it's not about blaming yourself for everything that's happened to you, but it does mean that you recognize your role in the co-creation. Even when the drivers are hidden from your view, even when they are beneath the surface and you have no idea what they are. And in my experience, fear, desperation, seeking approval and validation, avoidance, and so much more, they can all shape the outcomes in your manifestation practice and the results that you get. And I did learn this the hard way that many of us, and around about 2010, I've got loads of examples, but I'll use this one for now. It was actually during my second marriage. And at the time, I was very deep in victim mode. Of course, I didn't know that I was. It's only now, since I've journeyed quite a lot, I realized how much in victim mode that I was. And life really did feel like it was happening to me. It was kind of like a more poor me vibe. That was kind of like my default, again, like I say, without knowing it. And I didn't even understand at that point what taking responsibility actually meant. And like I say, it doesn't mean you blame yourself for everything. You just recognize your role in the co-creation, even when the drivers are hidden beneath the surface. But eventually, I started to see the difference between being a victim and being a victor. So events weren't happening to punish me. They were happening to help me, to unlock me, to help strengthen me, to help me see myself, to help me grow. So even though that marriage didn't last, I'm absolutely proud of how I eventually showed up in that marriage. It taught me that I'm not a victim. I played a part in every single outcome that I was experiencing. And that real power comes from owning that first. Because life is a mirror. It reflects back to us our beliefs, our wounds, our intentions, and even the ones that we are unconscious of. And when you can see the world in this way, everything then becomes feedback. It's not always comfortable. In fact, sometimes it's downright uncomfortable, but it's the most honest form of guidance that you can ever receive. And quite often you'll hear me share the story of the two wolves. If you've listened to all my podcasts, you would have already come across that particular episode. There's a Native American Indian. He sat with his grandson. And he said, "Son, there's a battle going on between all of us, battle between two wolves. One is full of anxiety and fear and desperation and greed and worry and doubt. And the other one is full of love and trust and joy and possibility and inner power." And the little boy sits there and he asks his grandfather, he says, "If there's this battle, grandfather, which wolf wins?" And he says, "My son, whichever one you feed." So for me, breaking old patterns meant deliberately choosing to do the opposite of what my conditioning wanted me to do. Saying no instead of people pleasing, which was really difficult. For such a long time, I didn't even know I was a people pleaser. And learning to trust that everything is happening for me. And sometimes the things that I think I wanted, the universe had something way better in store for me. So trusting instead of controlling. And as a result, the results changed. So I just want to add here that this doesn't mean ignoring the real hurts that people have caused you. Many people resist this trait of taking personal responsibility because they have been genuinely harmed and genuinely hurt, and their pain is absolutely valid. But one of the quotes that Will Smith put on social media once is, "It's not our fault what happened to us, but it is our responsibility to change it, especially if we do want to live a higher vibrational life and we want to fulfill our dreams. It is our responsibility to change it, because responsibility is our superpower. And when you take it, you stop being at the mercy of everyone and everything outside of you." And then this brings me on to the next one that I was pondering is about like knowing our inherent worth and knowing our value. And this is so tightly woven with personal responsibility because you can't really own your choices if you don't deserve that you believe more. And when you know your worth, you make different choices. You stop settling. You recognize unhealthy patterns and cycles, and you stop them dead in the tracks. You stop betraying yourself to be liked or to be accepted. So for me, one of the knowing my worth has meant saying yes when I mean yes and living in integrity and no when I mean no. It's meant approving, or at least learning to approve of myself instead of needing it from everyone and everything else. And it's also meant surrounding myself with people who mirror the values that I want to live, not people who keep me stuck in old painful patterns and cycles. So worthiness isn't something most of us were born with feeling either, right? In fact, most of us weren't. It's something that was often taken away from us bit by bit as we were growing up. And of course, this was by well-meaning caregivers who didn't know better either. It was by social programming that tells us our value is conditional, by systems that want us to stay small and in survival and striving. We just got to look at the education system the way it is right now, that you're only good enough if, kind of shoehorns us, if you like, into believing that the only way to be worthy or to make it in life is through a very limited system, which is designed to only fit a few or small percentage of the population. That's a whole new podcast, by the way. So I'll stop there. I feel like I'm going on a bit of a tangent. And I had a really powerful moment of reclaiming my worth during that second marriage. I was deeply unhappy. And physically, I was so unwell. I remember crying in the bath after years and years of what felt like banging my head against a brick wall and just realizing I couldn't take any more. I couldn't take any more loneliness. I couldn't take any more coldness, if that's a thing, word coldness. I just couldn't take any more feelings of crying inside and so desperate for connection and love. And I tried everything else and I knew that I deserved more. I knew that I was worthy of more, or at least I was willing to believe that I was at that stage. And leaving was one of the hardest decisions I made of my life. But in that moment, I chose myself on a whole new level. So that's one example that worthiness isn't a one-time decision. It's a process, and you have opportunities throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, in order to make different choices, which will either be in alignment with worthiness and deservability or not. So it is a process, it's a practice. It's not something that you just kind of do a hypnosis and all of a sudden everything starts to click into place and you become this person who has high values and feels worthy and deserving. It takes time and it takes consistency and it takes self-compassion. Consistency is one of the key values and core character traits, which is actually really important in this process. So that's something I'd just like to highlight here. I'll go into detail on quite a few others, but actually showing up consistently is going to be one of your greatest gifts and learning to develop that. Even if it's just choosing one thing every day, you're going to be super consistent at. It's going to build a muscle that's going to support everything else. And with consistency and self-compassion over self-judgment will change absolutely everything. Because remember, you're doing the best that you can right now with all the programs you've ever had installed in you with through family or society or systemic. You're doing the very best that you can with the wisdom and the information that you have right now, and so has every past version of you. So this definitely is not about judgment. Quite the opposite, actually, for you to have got to where you are now, considering everything that you've been through and every battle that you've had to fight, you're actually really amazing. So we need to start recognizing what we are instead of what we're not. And when we do this, it begins to change everything. Because when you know your worth, you stop chasing love, you stop chasing validation and looking for validation and love in all the wrong places, by the way. And you stop overgiving to prove yourself. And that is where some of the biggest shifts start to happen. And as a result of that, you're going to start creating from alignment instead of fear. So let's look at then another one that I was pondering, which is having healthy boundaries and people pleasing. In fact, there's so many core character traits all wrapped up within all of these. But healthy boundaries is essential if you want to hold what you manifest. Remember, this is all about holding what you call in. Because without healthy boundaries, then your energy is just going to leak all over the place. Think of a ship at sea. If it's got loads of holes in the bow, then you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be spending most time trying to get the water out to stay afloat. So having healthy boundaries is where you can start to repair where you are leaking energy, where you're overgiving, where you're saying yes when you mean no. And you just end up resentful, exhausted, and depleted because you're spending most of your time trying to stay afloat. I know this particular one so intimately because I'm a recovering people pleaser. And for years, guilt was my driver. I worked with clients that I wasn't aligned with. In the most, it's because I really felt bad for them and what they had experienced. And I also felt bad saying no. I also let my own fears and need for validation step in the way. And I let people dump their problems on me and me take them on as if they were my own because I didn't want to see them in pain, even when it wasn't mine to fix, right? And many of us do this. And I also had to learn boundaries with myself. Now, this is a huge conversation around what I let into my body. So, in terms of how I ate, how the information that I absorbed through things like mindsets, that played a huge role. Because I don't know if you're the same or similar, but there's something that draws us in around people's negative stories, their bad experiences, the stuff that's happened in the world. And there's something oddly addictive about it. So I'd have to be really careful about what I was absorbing because my input is my output. So if you think of this energetically, what you're allowing in is the energy that you are emitting out. So I had to have healthy boundaries with myself around what I would allow into my mind, what I would allow into my body, what my daily routines were like. Was I spending more time just sat around scrolling on social media, or was I getting up and doing a workout and grounding on bare feet outside and looking after my body? But even how I let people speak to me, and I could go on that subject. And one of my most challenging lessons, actually, this was a very early on in my life, which, kind of like set the precedent, I guess, for what I allowed to happen thereafter, was with my dad. He was incredibly needy, treating me more like a coach, a mentor, a doctor, a mother, and you name it, rather than a daughter. He'd stay with me for months on end, and he'd leave mess everywhere as he went along, and I would get annoyed. He would get annoyed if I asked him to clean up. And he didn't contribute financially. And this was even when I was a single mum. And I felt guilty setting boundaries, or he would give me a sob story that would make me feel bad for then asking for help, especially on the financial front. The rest of it, he was quite good with when I asked. So I learned from a young age that actually I need to give to other people. If I've got more than they have, I need to give to them. And if I don't, I'm a bad person, and loads of other stuff around that, by the way. So this terrible program around giving out of guilt and being made to feel bad that I had when they didn't. And, this kind of like made me feel guilty about having and receiving, and it created a lot of ongoing issues. And I share this with you because you may have similar things, different stories, different characters. You may have similar things. And of course, it was only over a period of time that I learned that the anger I was experiencing was a sign that one of my boundaries had been crossed, had been violated. And I didn't consciously know it. I just felt angry and, like a lot of the time, especially around certain people. And that angry, resentful feeling is often a boundary that is being violated, and our energy is alerting us to that and saying enough. So boundaries aren't about pushing people away. They're about honoring what you value, including yourself. They're about protecting your energy so that you can show up fully for the people and the things that you love and that you care about. They get a healthy version of you, not a tired, resentful, wrung out like a sponge version of you. And it's important to remember in the process of setting healthy boundaries that nobody can read your mind. Boundaries do need to be communicated. Otherwise, it's like an invisible electric fence that people keep stumbling into without knowing it's there. And they just get this emotional reaction from you that can be quite shocking to their system as well. So it's actually a kind thing. It actually helps to build relationships by setting healthy boundaries. And then I was also pondering on things like, self-awareness, like developing self-awareness and how important self-awareness is as a foundational trait. Because you can't change what you can't see. If you don't know that you don't know, you're never going to get anywhere. But if you now know that you didn't know, it gives you the opportunity to see things differently and to choose differently, even if in that moment you don't know what's driving you. So for me, self-awareness has meant asking questions like, why am I really choosing this? Why am I really saying yes to this person? Why am I really saying yes to this job opportunity? And why am I really working myself to the bone from 9 in the morning to 9 at night? Come the weekend, I'm so shattered. And then I start again. Why am I really doing this? What is the real reason for it if I was being really truthful for myself? And what would happen if I said no? What am I afraid of if I said no? And really being honest with myself about where I was overgiving. And this is all about recognizing, well, getting to know yourself first and foremost, developing awareness and recognizing patterns, noticing the repeated patterns in your life. Things that, even though the people are different and the situations are different, the feelings that they entice are the same. Have you ever noticed that? And that's what self-awareness is so important. I remember years and years ago, I went to a coach. I spent ages telling him about all these different relationships that I had had and how I was struggling with this. And even though I had great friendships and great connections, there was also, people that I kept falling out with and I couldn't understand why. And as he sat there and he listened very patiently for a long period of time, he looked me straight in the eye and he said, the only common denominator in all of this bleep is you. And the first time I felt something landed, because even though it really hurt, he was absolutely right. There was something that I was doing. There was some way that I was showing up that was contributing to my life experiences. And I needed to know what that was. And I was willing to take personal responsibility. And with that awareness, I was able to start the process of changing things. So it's recognizing the patterns, it's noticing the repeated feelings and outcomes, and seeing where you're being driven by the need for validation, by avoiding negative outcomes, where you're driven by fear or old conditioning. And this is work I do with clients a lot of the time. We unpack the stories that they tell themselves when they are triggered and the stories that they tell themselves about the world. So if somebody says to me, people just always take advantage of me, we explore what they're accepting, what they're allowing, or where they might be doing the same to themselves or others without even realizing it. There's a lot more to it than that, by the way. But we go on a process of exploration. And this is the willingness to be open and ready and to explore why you are not able to create and hold the life that you want. How am I showing up that is creating these results? And being willing to see yourself, and I promise you it's not comfortable. In fact, it's super, super uncomfortable, but it's definitely going to be a quality worth developing. And just know that it's going to be uncomfortable. Nobody wants to see the part that they've played and how the way that they've shown up may have attributed or contributed to what they're experiencing, and then having to take responsibility for that. It's much easier just to blame the other person and to avoid. But is it easier? Is it a case of choosing your heart? So either way, if I stay in victim mode and I blame everybody else, it's going to be difficult. I'm not going to have healthy relationships. I'm not going to be able to manifest and create and hold the life that I want. And everything is always going to feel like it's hard work. Or I can take personal responsibility, develop curiosity, be willing to see myself and take accountability, develop self-awareness and healthy boundaries. And that's going to be hard because learning new things is difficult. But at least with the heart that I've chosen, which is to develop myself, there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to open myself up to deeper connections in my friendships, which are open and loving and honest and safe. I'm going to develop myself enough to have ro a romantic relationship that is deeply loving, deeply loyal, deeply connected, and so much more. I'm more than likely then to connect to a job and life purpose that I'm passionate about, be open and receptive to more abundance on higher levels than ever before. So either way, it's going to be hard. So choosing your heart, depending on what outcome you want, is going to be the best gift that you can give yourself. So becoming self-aware isn't then about blaming yourself. So say, for example, the coach that said the only common denominator in all this bleep is you, I could have gone into an absolute meltdown, like embarrassed, how I'd shown up, judging myself or the part that I'd played, and so many other things I could have done. But I was like, no, I did the best I could with the wisdom and information that I had at the time. And now I can see that I'm now choosing to show up differently. I'm choosing to show up more consciously. So when you develop the self-awareness muscle, you will start seeing the real reasons behind your choices. You'll see the patterns that are on repeat, not because you're cursed, not because the universe has it in for you, because you're playing out old, outdated scripts that no longer serve you. And one of the most humbling parts of my own journey is realizing just how much I was operating on autopilot with regards to being a victim and making decisions from desperately needing the world to see how much pain I was in. So my drivers weren't to manipulate the world. I was in pain, a lot of pain, and I so desperately wanted the world to see that. So a lot of my decisions were driven by the need for validation, the need to be seen. And I didn't like conflict. Who likes conflict? So, of course, I was avoiding things by saying yes when I meant no, overgiving to feel needed and wearing myself out. So, no wonder my body started to struggle under the stress and I started noticing all these symptoms that just left me feeling worse and worse physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So, self-awareness is about pausing and asking, what is really going on here? Is it about, or shall I say, it's about getting radically honest with yourself with so much compassion. Because once you see it, you can then shift it. Now, there's so many more that we could share. There's emotional regulation, so you can learn to respond instead of react. There's courage, which that takes time to develop. It's definitely not one that I was born with, because let's be real, this work isn't easy and it really takes courage and guts to look at your life honestly, to own your patterns. It takes courage to then make changes, to let go of old identities. It takes courage to set boundaries, to say no, to leave relationships or jobs that don't honor you. It takes courage to change your mind, to admit when you were wrong, to choose what's right for you, even when it disappoints or upsets other people. But courage is one of the things that once cultivated, that's when we truly, wholly, and completely step out of any old, outdated stories and ingrained patterns and systems within ourselves. So developing that muscle of courage. And just doing it in small ways to begin with, just to become familiar with what courage is, how it feels, to look at yourself in the smallest way to start with. Even if it's just 1% small change every single day, doing something that's courageous, a small percentage every day builds that muscle so that when required to take the giant leap, you have more energy, trust, and faith in yourself because you've already begun to cultivate that in other areas in your life. So consistency and commitment is what I'm going to end this on. Consistency is a trait that are going to make all the others work. I touched on it earlier on in this episode. It's easy to make one empowered choice. It's harder to make the empowered choice over and over again. So consistency is showing up for yourself even when motivation fades, even when you convince yourself of 101 reasons why you don't need to do that today, or you don't need to be consistent within this daily decision. It is the daily decisions that build the life that you want. So you do need to be an active participant in the creation of your life. Many people just want this amazing life without having to do any work, without participating, and then moaning when they haven't got what it is that they want. But they make 101 excuses, and I was there, therefore I know about it, as to why they can't do it, why they can't keep up these commitments. We label things left, right, and center. We blame certain neurodivergent aspects of our personality, which again, I know because I've done before, when actual fact, these are character traits that we all need to learn, and we all start with different challenges. But if it's possible in the world, then it's possible for me. And yes, sometimes some people find certain things easier, and other times other people find things harder. But it doesn't mean to say that we don't all have the ability to make the change. It's learning to be consistent with the commitment that you make to yourself so that you can live the life that you absolutely deserve. Now, manifestation in this context is not magic. It's the result of who you consistently choose to be and how you consistently show up as the energy you consistently choose to hold. In my own life, the biggest changes didn't come from one big breakthrough. Gosh, that would have been lovely. My ego would have loved that. They came from the accumulation of small, consistent shifts, choosing differently, sticking to my commitments with myself, even if I didn't want to, showing up differently again and again and again. So there's so much more. Today we've covered personal responsibility, knowing your worth, healthy boundaries, self-awareness, courage, consistency, and commitment. There's also integrity, emotional regulation, patience, and long-term vision. I could go on and on and on. So I'll save those for another episode just to allow you to percolate with the ones that I've shared today. But remember, none of these are quick fixes. They're practices, they are choices. The ways of being that you learn to cultivate and grow the muscle of being over time. And you can't wait until you are things to get the dream life. You become these things to get the dream life. So if you're listening, I would love to invite you to reflect on which of these character traits come really naturally to you, which are the ones that actually feel the hardest, but also where you are ready to grow next. And I guess the ones that feel the hardest, those are where you need to go in order to grow. That is your next breakthrough. When you focus on being consistent, taking responsibility on the hardest one, that's when you are going to start seeing results way beyond anything that you could imagine. Because manifestation isn't necessarily about control. Well, it's definitely not about controlling outcomes, I can tell you that, but it is about becoming. So thank you for joining me today on the Solara Star podcast. If this has resonated with you, please share it with somebody that you know and love who could really do with this wisdom and information right now. And remember, you are the fabulous creator of your reality. Nothing's happening to you. Everything's happening for you. And when you recognize this, and when you recognize that you are worthy of the life that you deserve, and when you become an active participant in that consistently, you're going to start to notice amazing results. It has been beautiful, slightly longer episode today, but it's been beautiful to be with you. And I look forward to being back with you for more wisdom super soon. In the meantime, bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to the Solara Star Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you hit subscribe so that you never miss out. And you can stay connected with me on Instagram at Solara Star. And for even more inspiration and explore my courses and coaching at solarastar.com. You deserve to live a deeply connected and fulfilling life. And it's only you that can make it happen.